While Lorna and I were designing this service, we discovered that both of our fathers had served in the Royal Canadian Navy during World War II. They both fought in the Battle of the North Atlantic. My dad, Claire, often simply wrote a letter to my mom saying, "Happy birthday, love, Claire." Mom knew this to mean that he had arrived safely across the North Atlantic to his destination in Londonderry, and he would likely be shipping off again in his Corvette to replenish supplies for the war effort. Not very romantic, but they got through the censors. And as my mother used to always say, there was love in every letter. Lorna and my research took us to the Vancouver Island University's History Department and their Canadian Letters and Images Project, which is an online archive of the Canadian war experience. The readings that you are about to hear are excerpts from letters, actual letters, which have been scanned into the website. A letter from one mother to another, Calgary, October 16th, 1942.
Dear Mrs. Martin, I have just heard that you have received word from Bill after all these months of silence. I just wanted to tell you how happy I am for you, as only we mothers who have to go through months of suspense can understand what it means. Bob has been missing for 4 months and a half now, and so far we have had no word of anyone seeing him or hearing of him. But we are still hoping that he may have been picked up or made a landing somewhere. It seems so tragic that it should have happened just when they were expecting their first baby. The baby is 2 months old today, and they say it looks like Bob. So it will be a comfort to her and help her to keep her from thinking too much about Bob. We just hope that some miracle will happen to put a stop to this ghastly war before all our fine boys are taken. Perhaps they will give Bill leave to come home now. At least we hope so. Sincerely, Mrs. Audrey Niven.
From the diary of Marie-Louise Desproux, Paris, 1941.
This tale was told to a liberating soldier by the schoolmistress of Arzon, France. Her son, a boy of 15, on one of his walks, came upon three English soldiers who seemed perfectly exhausted and were trying to hide. He made them understand that he would help them and that they were to follow him. He brought them home to his mother, who had them undress and put on some fishermen's clothes, and she buried their uniforms. Then she gave them a good meal, which they devoured, and locked them in her room where they slept for 24 hours without waking up. They had escaped from a German prison camp and had been wandering and hiding for 3 days. She then found a fisherman who consented to take them in his boat to England, and we hope with all our hearts that they got there safely.
We are all well aware of the tragic aspects of war, so today, using personal letters from neighboring Salt Spring Island, we will attempt to put a face on some of the stories that are recorded. From the Mowat family of Salt Spring Island, William Ivan Mowat left Salt Spring Island, BC, to join the Royal Canadian Air Force and was sent overseas in early 1941. Mowat was shot down over Belgium and remained a prisoner of war until he was liberated in May 1945. The University of Vancouver Island has collected 18 letters, 7 telegrams, and 3 photos that relate to Ivan's experience in the Second World War. On October 2nd, 1941, Ivan sent a telegram back to his mother at Ganges, Salt Spring, to say that he had arrived safely and was feeling well, and love to all. Between the telegram to the folks saying he was well in October of 1941 until the next letter in July of 1943, we can only imagine all of the training that Ivan experienced as a fighter pilot and the missions that he flew. In July of 1943, Mrs. Mowat sent a telegram with happy birthday wishes to her son in Manchester, England. He was not to receive the telegram because on July 11th, this telegram was sent to his parents.
We regret to advise you that your son, J-17084, Pilot Officer William Ivan Mowat, is missing after air operations overseas. Stop. Letter follows.
Dated August 21st, 1943, Mrs. Mowat was telephoned this telegram.
Please to advise International Red Cross, quoted German information, states your son, Pilot Officer William Ivan Mowat, is prisoner of war. Stop. Letter follows. RCAF Casualties Officer.
Then, 7 days later, the same casualties officer, Flight Lieutenant W.R. Gunn, writes to Mr. Mowat, saying,
"It is a pleasure to convey this further information as the writer feels it will relieve to some extent the great anxiety endured by you and Mrs. Mowat. He promises to forward any additional details that are received at headquarters."
Then finally, on October 6th, 1943, Ivan wrote his mother and dad, saying,
"I have still to receive any mail from you as yet, and am expecting it any day. The time seems to slip by somehow, and it is hard to realize that I've been a prisoner of war for over 3 months now. In some ways, it seems so short. And then again, at times, when I feel a bit blue, I have lots to do every day. We play softball and soccer, and I have renewed my study of French, as well as starting to study Spanish. The law and philosophy went by the board because the instructors moved to an adjoining camp. We have an average of at least one concert or camp show a week and hope to have a film soon. As I have said before, everyone is wonderfully optimistic, and I feel sure myself that I shall be home with you for my next birthday anyway. Lots of love to all at home. Your loving son, Ivan."
This letter and envelope have been scanned into the archives at the Vancouver Island University, and it's interesting to see the contrast between the letters that the RCAF typed out on their fine paper and the hand-scratched notes that the prisoners of war sent, or even anybody who was in the military. They had pencils, but they didn't have very fine writing paper. They just wrote on anything they could get their hands on. The next of kin staff in the prisoner of war department were good at reminding the families to send the allowed parcels. Here's one letter dated June 9th, 1944.
This is typical military language. "Your next personal parcel to the above-named prisoner of war is now due. Accordingly, you will find enclosed the necessary forms for the dispatch of your parcel and the special permits for tea, sugar, and coffee. These permits will allow you to obtain, for the parcel only, 2 pounds of sugar, 1 pound coffee, and 4 ounces of tea. If, for any reason, you do not enclose these in the parcel, kindly return the permits to this office. When the parcel has been mailed, please return the receipt card immediately. Should you desire official information at any time, please communicate with this office, quoting without fail the name, address, and number of the prisoner concerned." Yours faithfully, George D. Allen, H.R., Prisoners of War, Next of Kin Division.
Then the long-awaited letter to Ivan Mowat from the British Columbia House in London came on May 21st, 1945.
Dear Flight Lieutenant Mowat, while you're in London on your liberation leave, I shall be pleased if you will use the officer's lounge as my guest. Will you please quote M7 to the Canadian Red Cross girl serving you? Yours truly, W.A. McAdam, Flight Lieutenant Mowat W.I. Strange he would end it with that. May 22nd, 1945. Then the following day, W.A. McAdam wrote this to Ivan's parents. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Mowat, I know you will be pleased to hear that I had a call from your son, Ivan, yesterday. He was looking well and is spending a few days leave in London, but hopes to be back at base and on his way home within a week or so. He is looking forward to seeing you all and sends greetings. I should like to wish you a happy reunion with no more partings in the future. With kindest regards, yours very truly, W.A. McAdam.
Following is a letter home from pilot in training Peter Biolo prior to being sent overseas. Saskatchewan, 1943. Speaking of flying, I have seen some things from 4,000 feet that many people have never seen or ever will see, such as Tuesday morning. We took off about 6:30 a.m. and climbed to 4,500 feet. The sun was just coming up over a bank of purple, silver-lined clouds. As the sun rose higher, the earth slowly began to unveil, revealing snowy, dust-topped hills, while the sides of the hills were pure white, thus giving me the impression of looking directly into a man's brain from above. Then, about 10 miles away, the window panes of mossbank houses reflected the rays of the sun, like diamonds in a royal crown. The effect was utterly devastating. Most people truly don't realize the absolute beauty of our world, especially in the mornings. I most honestly believe too many people live in a boarded-in, self-centered life, realizing only physical and material enjoyment, whereas so much beauty and true life enjoyment can be found out of doors in nature's manifestations. When I was up in that plane, I was utterly lost in the wonders of nature's pageant. Why people must be so one-tracked and resigned to the habits of so-called modern civilization, excluding all that does not concern them financially or otherwise, is below or beyond my reason. Enough of my philosophy. Love to all. Peter.
Peter's plane was shot down over France in July 1944. He and four of his flying companions were buried by the local people at Chaumousset.
In his prisoner of war camp, Gordon Barnes wrote this poem about Dieppe. Dieppe. It was the 18th day of August in 1942. We sailed away from England, and no one knew where to. We had received no orders, no friends to see us leave, the 2nd Canadian Division with the blue patch on their sleeve. Early the next morning, when everything was still, we saw those tracer bullets come at us from the hill. Though we kept right on sailing, and no one will forget the morning that we landed on the coast there at Dieppe. The enemy was waiting and had taken up their post. We met a hail of bullets as we landed on the coast. Every man there landed, or at least he tried. Many men were wounded there, and many more men died. It was early in the morning, and when we started in to fight, the mortar bombs came at us from in front and left and right. The shells came at us from the cliffs. They bombed us from the air. But the 2nd Canadian Division did not so easily scare. We fought there for 8 hours, from 6 a.m. till 2. Our losses were terrific, but there was nothing we could do. The Navy came to help us, but their boats they could not land, so we had to surrender at Dieppe there on the sand. What is left of us are now prisoners beneath a foreign flag, here in the heart of Germany, in this 8B Stalag. Though many of our comrades fell, we never will forget. They gave their lives there fighting in the Battle of Dieppe. When this war is over, and once again we're free, to our homeland we'll be sailing, to a land of liberty. Many have a battle scar, there's no one will forget. The morning that he landed on the French coast at Dieppe.
And finally, the following are excerpts from a letter written to all troops on May of 1945 by Field Marshal Bernard Montgomery, Commander-in-Chief, 21st Army Group. On this day of victory in Europe, I would like to speak to all who have served and fought with me during the last few years. What I have to say is simple and quite short. I would ask you all to remember those of our comrades who fell in the struggle. They gave their lives that others might have freedom, and no man can do more than that. We who remain all have feelings of joy and great thankfulness that we have been preserved to see this day. In the early days of this war, the British Empire stood alone against the combined might of the Axis powers. And during those days, we suffered some great disasters, but we stood firm on the defensive, but striking blows where we could. Later, we were joined by Russia and America, and from then onwards, the end was in no doubt. Let us never forget what we owe to our Russian and American allies. This great allied team has achieved much in war. May it now achieve even more in peace. Without doubt, great problems lie ahead. The world will not recover quickly from the upheaval that has taken place. There is much work for each one of us. We must face up to that work with the same fortitude that we faced in the worst days of this war. It may be that some difficult times lie ahead for our countries, for each of us personally. If it happens thus, then our discipline will put us through, but we must remember that the best discipline implies the subordination of self for the benefit of the community. It has been a privilege and an honor to command this great British Empire team in Western Europe. Few commanders can have had such loyal service as you have given me. I thank each one of you from the bottom of my heart. And so, let us embark on what lies ahead, full of joy and optimism. We have won the German war. Let us now win the peace. Good luck to all of you, wherever you may be.